Change starts and stops with a WTF moment. The first is, what the fuck am I doing? We finally wake up to the reality that our life is not what we want it to be. The denial is done. We have to ask ourselves the hard questions. If we never have that moment, nothing changes. The next WTF is walking towards fear. If you aren't willing to find your growth edges and take steps in a new and likely scary direction, again, nothing changes. This podcast is a space to explore open and honest conversations around creating change in our personal worlds, which honestly has become my favorite adventure yet. Thanks for following along. Yep, it's me, Christina from the future. I want to give you a quick introduction on this week's episode of Walking Towards Fear. I had Morgan on the podcast, and Morgan, who you will learn in this episode, is an absolute saint, an angel, a rescuer, a hero, if you will. Her job is to help people literally save their own dreams. She's a physical therapist that follows the Pacific Crest Trail and helps hikers as they need support physically getting injured. So I need you guys to understand that she is in so much service to other people living their dreams that even just sharing this brings chills to my whole body. If other people in the world lived in service of others half the way that Morgan does, this world would be a different place. So I hope you listen, pay attention to her story, hear what she has to say, understand how she serves the world. And without further ado, let's dive in. All right. So this week's episode of the Walking Towards Fear podcast is going to be in our season 3. And I have Morgan Brosnahan with us, who is also known as Blaze Physio out on the Pacific Crest Trail. She is a total rock star. I worked with her a couple times when I was out on trail. She hiked the Vermont Long Trail in the fall of 2018 and the Pacific Crest Trail in the spring of 2019. So welcome to the pod.
All right. Thank you. I'm so excited.
Me too. And, you know, Morgan and I were just talking before we got recording here, kind of about the world of entrepreneurship, right? And like meshing passions. So you're a physical therapist, right? So you have a doctorate degree in basically the human body, and you have decided to help through hikers effectively with their hikes.
Yeah. So whenever I hiked, I learned more about physical therapy as it related to overuse injuries than I even did in school, just from experiencing those kind of physical demands. And then I watched a lot of people have injuries and go to like small town doctors and get really bad advice. And I just knew I could help with that.
Yeah. So actually, when you hiked both the Long Trail and the PCT, you were already a physical therapist. Is that right?
Yeah. So I graduated in December of 17 and then started working for about 8 months in just like every setting possible. I was in a trauma hospital, an inpatient rehab, and an outpatient ortho. And I just worked like PRN at all of them. So I worked 5 to 7 days a week and just never had the same week twice. And then just got a ton of mentorship because some of the jobs had like my professors were PTs there. And then just, you know, got the span of injury from, you know, breaking 3 limbs to a torn rotator cuff, you know, so like very nice, heavy dose of all of the rehab settings. And then I did that for like 8 months. And then I got on the Long Trail and then did a travel assignment out on the coast of Oregon and then got on the PCT.
So in the 8 months where you were working, what sparked you to say, okay, I'm done working, actually, I'm going to go hike?
Well, it was kind of the plan even before I graduated. And I had already bought a van before right at the end of school, I bought the van. And then during that 8 months, I was converting my first van and then moved into it for about a month just to save up one more little chunk before hitting the Long Trail, and then got on trail, move back into the van, and then did the travel assignment from the van so I could just bank all that money to support the PCT. And yeah, pretty much as soon, like my whole strategy coming out of school was I want to do these 2 hikes and live in a van. So I need to figure out how to make as much money in 8 months as possible so I can do that.
That rocks. And I'm assuming you had a pretty stellar experience at On the Trail, like most people do, but how did being a physical therapist, like while you were on the trail, I'm sure it helped in some ways, but it probably played with your mental game in other ways, right? Like trying to help hikers without giving too much of your experience away. Like what was that like?
Yeah. So, well, 500 miles in, I had my own foot injury because I didn't take my own advice and I wore a pair of speed boots until the bitter end and almost ended my own hike like an idiot. And I had cuboid syndrome, which was that, did you have that issue or no? Am I thinking of someone else? No, someone else. So I had cuboid syndrome, which is just like a bony problem in your foot. And it was like 1000% because I wore my shoes too long. So I felt really stupid. And then I thankfully just like had a night where I had like a mini meltdown because I thought my hike was over, as we do, you know, when totally. We get like any injury and we're like, this is it. This is the pain that will do me in, just 500 miles in, all for nothing, you know? So I like took a night and I just decided to think about it and stop looking at it like it was my own foot. And then I figured it out and I taught one of my people from my trail family how to do what I needed on my foot, and then got new shoes and it was good to go. And then I thankfully after that was basically injury free, minus like the normal everything hurts through hiker vibe. But my hiking partner had a couple things pop up, and so my biggest motivation was to keep her on trail so I wouldn't have to hike by myself. So every little issue she had was like an immediate assessment and plan. So she was my number one client.
And it sounds like she finished with you, so that was successful.
She was great. So we made and then I would like hear occasionally people having issues and I would just kind of pull them to the side and be like, hey, try this. And then like, but please don't like yell in the crowd that I'm a physical therapist so I can enjoy my downtime here.
Yeah, what was the fear if like that kind of started making its way around? Like, hey, did you know that she's a PT?
I just like didn't want to only meet people's injuries. Like I wanted to have that normal trail experience, you know, where like I get to know them because it's such a raw human experience. And I knew if that word circulated, not that I didn't want to help them, but I didn't want someone to not, you know, I didn't want to not learn the interesting things about somebody because the first sentence was, I'm having this excruciating foot pain. And then, you know, and then at the end of my hike, I can't really remember any of the people other than, you know, oh, that was the person with knee pain.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting way to put it. And too, right, you're out there for the experience. You're not out there to work. And those are very different while trying to, I'm sure, balance. There's a reason you're in the world you're in, right? Because you like being able to help people and support their hikes. So I'm sure that was kind of a weird line to walk.
Yeah, it was. And like, I would still definitely, especially if it was somebody I got to know already and they had an issue, then it was like, I will help you with anything that pops up. But when it was just like more like passerbyers, I just tried to kind of keep that at bay so it didn't dominate my hike.
Yeah, so it didn't dominate your hike and you were able to balance that. And now your world has totally flipped where like that is what you do. So how did that happen?
Yeah. So now I love it. Now I love when someone walks up to me and they're like, are you foot hurts? And I'm like, yes, let's look at it, you know? So, but it works in reverse because when I hiked, I met the person and then would later maybe deal with their injury. Now I kind of meet their injury, but then a lot of times I then get to meet the person. So it's like if they stay on trail and I follow the trail, there's a very good chance I'm going to run into them again. And then I, you know, at that point, we're familiar. I get to know them. And then it's like, now we're just going to lunch, you know. So it's like it works in reverse, but in like a really cool way. But I just knew whenever I was on trail and people were getting hurt and they were going to those small town doctors, which, you know, they do the best they can, but like primary care doctors are not orthopedic specialists. And then even orthopedic specialists are not rehab specialists. So they don't know what it looks like to move through an injury. That's what we do. And so they were just getting so much bad advice because the activity that is a thru hike is such a, people just assume and providers just assume, oh, it's overuse. So you have to stop overusing. And that's just not good advice. And so people were getting boots and told to take a month off, unnecessary x-rays, just all kinds of stuff that, you know, just we didn't, it didn't have to happen. And it was ending trips that didn't need to be ended. So I really like felt like I had to do something about that.
Yeah. And I can hear it. And I watched it, right? I had friends and myself. I saw you, I think, twice when I was on the trail, like, hey, there's this thing that's happening. And I just want to run it by your professional mind because I don't want to freak myself out. I don't want to end things prematurely. I don't want almost a fear to take over, right? Because a hiker's huge fear is like, I have to get off trail because of an injury. So I don't know if you'll have like a number for this, but how many people do you think you like recommended they get off the trail this year?
Less than 5.
Wow, really?
Yeah, there were, I can think of a fracture, 2 fractures. 5 fractures and 1 compartment syndrome. And then those are the ones I told to get off trail. 2 compartment syndromes, 7.
Okay, so let's ask you this. This last year, which was your first year following the PCT, how many hikes do you think you saved?
I don't know, because I don't want to give myself like undue credit, you know, in terms of like, was that the saving thing or was it also like them mentally just like being tough? You know what I mean? So I want to like take credit from people, but I did work with like at least 300 to 400 hikers. And that's just maybe an undershot, because I have intake forms. And, you know, most people filled out the intake forms, but then sometimes I would just be like walking down a sidewalk. They'd be like, can you look at this real quick? So, or like, there'd be like groups of people and it's like, not, you don't always get everyone to like sign the thing. And so it's like, I don't know. There's a bit of a blur in some of these group settings that I couldn't get a number for, but in terms of just like intake forms, I have quite a few.
Okay, that's awesome. And like, I'm going to put you on a podium, even though you're like not wanting to put yourself on it, of like, okay, seeing 300 to 400 hikers and saying that 7 have like a necessity to get off trail, like that's huge to be able to help support those people. And I'm sure too, for you, you probably see it very differently in the thru hiking world because people want to keep going, right? So like, you must have pretty high levels of like patient adherence to what you tell them.
Oh, that's the best part. Yep, absolutely. Because it is, everybody is so motivated that I know if I say do these 5 things, they are going to do those 5 things. Versus when you're in general population, I'm just begging people to do 2 things, like just anything to get, to push the needle towards like less pain or like better movement in their life or just things like that. I mean, just there's so much like motivational interviewing is like a big part of what you learn in school, and just trying to like meet people where they are and try to, you know, get them from all levels of like physical conditioning and psychological things. And then on trail, it's just like the biggest hurdle I have is whenever I have to tell someone to take like 3 days off. And the response of, I hike for my mental health. I don't know if I can sit still for 3 days. That's probably the hardest hurdle that I see. And I'm like, okay, I get that. You probably need to have a second coping mechanism, but that's beyond my scope. But if you will just figure out any way to keep yourself busy, to sit still for 3 days and do these things that, you know, are targeted interventions, you have a really good shot of being able to keep hiking. And so that's like, that's my biggest hurdle. That's like amazing.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. And it makes sense, right? Like hikers are so desperate to finish their hike that, I mean, I know my few things I talked to you about were by no means potentially even trail ending. They were just like discomfort. And I wanted to make sure I was not going to hurt myself further. But when you're in that spot of having this information, do these things and you can keep going, you find ways to make it work, which is a huge benefit from your side, I'm sure.
Definitely. And you know what's been crazy? Now that we are in the postseason, there's all these people that are like, you know, they finished their hikes, like, you know, had 1,500 more miles to go. Or like when we talked, I said, you know, I think there is the potential of like a stress fracture in your foot here. Try these things for a few days. If there's no improvement, then I really think you should get an x-ray. And some people just won't, like, they just won't go get the x-ray. And so they'll try things that'll make it a little better. And they're like, okay, I'm just going to keep pushing through this foot pain. And I have had three different hikers who have now post-trail had an x-ray. And it makes me really question, like, can you hike through fractures? Because ethically, we can't test that. Like, we can't. And that I find really interesting.
Okay, you cut out there a little bit on that last piece, but I think what you were saying was that you had hikers that essentially you thought they probably had a fracture, and they're like, yeah, maybe I'm gonna keep hiking, and then they got x-rays after and they did have fractures that they hiked through.
Yeah, and so like we would do the stuff, there's like signs of a fracture, and so sometimes people would have, and it mostly this was in telehealth capacity, and I'm like, you have all the signs of a fracture, sometimes it's still not a fracture, so let's give it a few days, try these things. If there's zero improvement, I want you to get an x-ray just to be safe. And then a lot of times they're just like, I don't want to get an x-ray because I don't want to know if there's a fracture, so they just keep going. But then they like, at least three of them hiked through fractures, finished their hike, and they're like, okay. So it really makes me wonder, like, if we actually have good fracture recommendations, like, do we need pure rest? But it's like, we can't ethically test that.
Yeah, true. Cause then I guess, you know, I'm a biologist by training. So I'm even thinking like how you would test that would be having people that you know have fractures and asking them to hike on it, which is probably where the ethics piece comes in.
Exactly. So I almost am like banking on over time, if I see a trend of people who incidentally hike through a fracture, I just want to like gather some data from them and just like see if it starts adding up. And then that's how we get breakthroughs in injury treatment, is we check new metatarsal fracture, who knows.
Yeah, definitely. Also, you are still breaking up a little bit. I don't know, am I coming in clear on your end?
You are clear. I wonder if it is just because I have Starlink internet and it's about to storm in Florida, so I wonder if it is impeding on my satellite.
Do you want to go video off and see if that helps?
Yep, let's try that.
Cool. Add in some bandwidth there. Okay, so that's really interesting, right? Like seeing, you're just gonna see what trends, you know, which tells me you plan to do this in the future, right? You're like, you're planning to go back out on the trail this coming year, follow the trail, and to even like back up there, when did you have this crazy idea of, okay, I'm a physical therapist and all other physical therapists work either in like a clinical setting, in a hospital, in an outpatient setting, and I want to work in my van following a long distance hiking trail? When did that idea come to you?
So it was kind of a combo of, I really enjoyed van life. And whenever I moved into it and was doing travel assignments, I was like, yes, totally dig in this van lifestyle. And then I enjoyed the thru-hiking community. And then I wanted to combine all those things. And and we talked about this a little bit earlier, and when I first started PT, I was almost immediately disheartened by the profession, in that we learned such great stuff in school and how to really truly help people move better and have less pain. And then I was getting in the field and seeing a lot of burnout and people just not being very engaged in the profession. So, you know, giving meaningless exercises, not properly dosed, all that kind of stuff. And then I found a cohort of PTs through my mentor. So one of my jobs ended up working with someone who's about 10 years older than me. And she was my mentor just because I adopted her, because she was so good. She was so passionate and she was doing things how I envisioned it to be done. And she's like, you need to check out Ice Physio. And I was like, okay. So this is this like continuing ed group that they're super evidence-based, super fitness forward. And it just like sparked that passion in me that like, yes, it does not have to look like that. I don't want to go day after day and not get good outcomes. I want to, you know, do the good stuff, go all in. So that like group was really, really important for my growth in the last 5 years as a PT, to be confident that, you know, I can do better than the traditional setting, and then just like sharpening my skills. And then all of those things combined with wanting to just like go out on a limb with my like passions of through hiking and van life. I was just like, I can do this. It does. I know I don't have to fit the model. I can do cash based. We don't need doctors. I don't see any reason why this can't work.
Okay. Love what you just said, right? I don't see any reason why this can't work. Cause I think there's a lot of people when they have an idea, especially for a business, right? Something that provides for them, like in their livelihood, they do actually sit there and think of all the reasons why it's an insane thing to do, why it doesn't make any sense, why it's so unreasonable, and why it's going to fail. So how did you get past that and just decide to, like, the language you used before we started recording was like, just to go all in?
Yeah. So, well, and I had thought that originally I would just do telehealth. So that was one of the things we talked about before, was I was like, well, I'm going to do a telehealth practice, because that was at the time unconventional. So that was like, you know, after I did the PCT 2019, like early beginning of the year. And so I was like, I'll go all in on that, but safely, you know, because I'll still work a job, but I can do telehealth on the side. And I think the universe gave me that dose of, you can't do anything safely and expect things to go better. So that's not that like COVID happened for me by any stretch. That's not what I mean. But I was, you know, thinking that was my move. And then COVID happened and everybody had a telehealth practice. And I was like, okay, that door is shut. That is not, I'm not meant to just be this online practice and nothing else. So I had to go back to the drawing boards. And whenever I was thinking about getting to help the hikers, I knew if I wasn't there, if I wasn't in front of them and helping them where they really needed it, it was just not going to be enough. And so I decided to go on the trail, but I did spend, I mean, I worked really, really hard at traditional jobs, just working like, you know, 40 to 60 hour weeks and living in my van, saving money and just trying to get as much of a safety net as I could. So I got kind of the mindset of like when I went on the PCT to hike it, I got the same mindset of, at worst, this will be an experience I won't regret trying. And I have the financial, you know, safety net that just like when I hiked the PCT, if I don't make a dollar, I can go 6 months without making money and be okay. And so then that kind of, that set me free from the traditional job, so I could get on the trail and not have to worry so much about the money side of things. And then it was just like unbelievable to me that I started actually making money doing it. I thought that was the coolest I'm still not really over it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? Going from, I won't regret trying this to, okay, now I'm all in, I'm believing in myself. And you had said before too, that you were basically running a clinic before you went out there, where you had that belief kind of in yourself of like, okay, if I can do it for someone else, like, why can't I do it for myself?
Yeah, exactly. So I was making like chump change, like hugely underpaid, and just running this clinic completely, like taking insurance, managing the caseload. There were zero patients when I started. And then we had a waiting list whenever I left. Like, it was a really awesome community that I was in. And I was just like, there is no reason I can't do all of this on my own and not give away 80% of the profit like I'm currently doing.
Yeah. and hearing it, right? You're like, I've been also responsible with it. Like, you're not living in some false reality where money doesn't matter or anything of that nature. You're like, you know, I planned for this. And because I planned for it and I've trusted myself, like, you've been able to do really well to the point where you are going out on trail again in the future and planning to make that work. It sounds like indefinitely.
Yeah. I mean, that's the plan. So, and the coolest thing for me was that the savings. So I went out in the van that I had for 5 years. And, you know, that was a big part of why I was able to save money, because my living expenses were dismal when I was living in a van. And then whenever I finished trail and I actually didn't need to use the savings I set aside, that let me build my next van. So now I can not only go back out, but I'm able to advance it by having this new bigger van that'll let me carry more like rehab stuff and has this big bench on the inside. So while I do love treating hikers under bridges and on the side of the road, because I think it is so funny, I can also bring them in the van and have like a space for it, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. So going from kind of iteration one of your business to iteration two of your business, you know, outside of the van change, do you think you'll change anything this year out on the trail?
I don't know. So I did, when I first went out last season, I didn't set prices because I still wasn't really sure how much to charge. And I also, I think there's a little bit of like that, you kind of have to know your worth situation. Mm-hmm. And so I've started it and just said, you know, it's just donation, and did it that way for a few weeks. And that was working out actually fine, because some people would get more, some people would get less, but then I could just help everybody without them worrying, like without worrying about the budget. And then at the end of the day, I still seemed to do okay. So I was okay with that for a while. And then as I got just like busier and like assessments got more involved, because it wasn't like small things, you know, I was spending like an hour with somebody. Then I was like, you know, I do need to like set a standard here, because I had a few like, you know, here's $2 or here's nothing situations that stung a little bit, but they almost always were made up for by like something random, like one hiker's mom just Venmo'd me $100 one day. Just aww. Was like, I think it's great you're helping hikers, and sent that to me. And I was like, wow, that really helps with that like hour and a half I spent with somebody yesterday who gave me $2. And yeah. So, but I did decide, I'm like, you know, I need to set prices, and, you know, I can always meet somebody where they are if I need to lower it and I feel it's appropriate, but I should set some prices. So I did that part of the way through, and then just still use the sliding scale. And then also had the sponsored slots, so people who didn't have any real budget could still get help. And I think this year I'm just going to start with those standards, so that way it's just, there's no confusion. And then my time is a little more protected, because I did run myself raw at one point, but I needed to take a few days off. So I'm going to try to protect myself a little more in that sense.
Okay. That's interesting. Right. And I'm sure as you keep learning and growing that way, because the thru-hiking community is so wide ranging in terms of even budget, right? Some people do it on like a penny pinching budget, where they really may not have the ability to, you know, have excess for medical costs, whereas other people are living a bit more frivolously and are happy to pay for it. But to your point, and then we were talking about earlier, if it's the difference between finishing your hike or not, like, you are worth every penny possible, right? But hearing you say, and you said before that this other was ICE physio that really helped give you some guidance, that, you know, they were super passionate. I mean, I would use that language for you, like just watching you with hikers, like you are so passionate about keeping people out on trail and having their experiences, that how did it affect you when you had to actually step away because you ran yourself a little too ragged?
Well, I basically just needed to sleep a lot. Like, like I just took a few days off. At one point I left trail to go to a friend's wedding, and that was like a really nice reset. But it was like it was right in the middle, and it was just a good reality check that like, I can't pour from an empty cup, you know? So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is, I think, and this is just business ownership in general, right? Like, you never know if you're going to make money the next day. And it feels sometimes very feast or famine, because like on a day where only one hiker would reach out, I'd be like, this is it, that's the end. And then like, you know, the next day, then I would hear from like 8 people. So it was like, I think this year I will have more of, I'll have just more of a level head, in the sense that I'm not worried about the feast and famine as much. Like, if there is downtime, I'll do better at like using it as like more like self-care, for lack of better words, time. So like charging my own batteries, taking time to myself, and maybe like actually leaving the trail town to go to a town that is not population 20 and, you know, doing things like that. But I think this year my goal is just in general to have just better balance, so I can like keep up the pace for multiple years, because adrenaline runs out after the first year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it was it in Mount Shasta where we had lunch?
I think so. That sounds right. Yeah, because it was at that like cute like veggie place, right?
Yeah, I was going to say like, the place with the smoothie bowls.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Shasta. And you were saying that, you know, with what you are doing, supporting all these hikers on their long distance hikes into these, to your point, all these tiny little trail towns, like sometimes a hiker's only ability to contact you is they're out in the wilderness and they're on a ridgeline with like two bars of service and they don't know how long it's going to last. And they're like trying to get through to you. So how did you manage the like priority of so many people needing you and reaching out to you?
So it actually had a decent flow in that I would typically set my day up like the night before in the morning of, because that was the nature of when people were coming into town. So it was like they would get in like either later in the day and then reach out to me, and I would get like an evening message and I'd be like, great, like let's pick a time tomorrow. And then, or I would get some in the morning. And usually if I heard from somebody in the morning, I could see them any point in that day and they would still be in town. But then like the occasional like ridgeline person, because I'm only treating hikers, everybody understood. So it was like, you know, if so-and-so reaches out to me and they only have service right now, but I'm supposed to go see a different hiker this hour, I always was able to text the person I was about to see and say, hey, someone just reached out to me from trail. They're having some issues and they have like a bar of service right now. Can I push you back an hour? Or like, can I move you to the end of the day? And never did anybody give me any issue. They were always like, yeah, definitely. And then I would just do that call right then.
Oh, that's actually such a cool kind of testament. And we both know, because we've both liked the PCT, kind of about the community, but to really hear that people are like, oh yeah, absolutely, help that person. Like, I'll be here when you're done.
Yeah, like very few times. And you know, there's also kind of that, if you're injured and you're hiking, how rigid could your timeline possibly be? You know?
Right.
Like, what would make you need to be seen at 1 o'clock and no other time in the day? Like, do you have really that much going on? And if you do, is it really that much of an injury? Or like, you know?
You're like, all of a sudden I'll be questioning my patience.
Yeah, yeah. So the priority thing kind of worked itself out, because it was just like, you know, if somebody had some urgency, it was 9 times out of 10 just because of when they had service. And other times it was like, oh no, I mean, I hurt, so I'm going to be here all day.
Yeah. Okay. That makes plenty of sense. So again, with this business that you built, you're following the trail, you're meeting all these people, you're helping hikers get on. What would you say was your biggest challenge this year of actually getting the business kind of up and running?
I think just all the research it took before I went out on trail to figure out like all the legal things. So like it's complicated in the sense that you have to be licensed where you're working as a PT. And so I needed to have all of these state licenses. And then, so I got all that done. And then I hired a lawyer and we went through what my plans were, my like traveling, the tax considerations for like, where am I claiming my income? Whenever, because when you live nomadic, income tax is a whole thing. And but I have my parents' address in Maryland, but I don't do any business there. So yeah, getting like all of those things sorted out and getting like liability insurance and like liability paperwork, just all of that stuff ironed out, because it you know, there wasn't like a class I could take that was like how to run your own odd practice where you are moving three states. There is unfortunately no class on that, so I had to kind of take what was available and then just, you know, spend the money and do the research to make sure everything stayed legit.
Okay, that's interesting, right? And your comment on like there's no class for like how to be an entrepreneur in a very niche space, because there's plenty of pizza places, right? Where it's like, yeah, kind of know how to do it. But what you're doing is kind of like pioneering this idea that I can take the thing that I'm really qualified in, right, which is physical therapy, mesh that with my passion, which is hiking and helping other thru hikers. And we talked about this a bit again before we got going here, but you know, I'd be curious how many people are watching what you're doing and being like, how can I make my dream a reality? Because it seems like you're kind of living your own dream right now. Like, would you say that's totally true?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, I can't believe it. Like, I would call them like about 3 times a week and be like, I cannot believe this is my day-to-day life. Like, this is my job, because I've worked in regular rehab and I'm doing it right now working in regular rehab. And so it's like, I just can't believe that this exists and I get to do it.
But the cool part is like, it didn't exist and you made it exist. Like, you created it.
I think I even have a hard time grasping that sometimes, because like, you know, 2023, it's hard to be the first at anything because just so many things have already happened, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like unreal to me.
Well, that's it. Like, do you get any comments? Again, I was like, I need to have you on the podcast immediately. And this is now like, you know, 5-10 months later. I'm not even sure when we first met, but like, do a lot of people ask you about this like wild life experience you're having?
Yeah. Yeah. And, but you know, the funniest thing that I get often, and mostly from like older people, because let me just say, like, you know what it's like to explain the PCT to someone who's never heard of it?
Oh yeah.
Try explaining this business to someone who's never heard of the PCT to start with. That is just like a very comical conversation to have, especially with somebody who's like a little older and just really has no concept of what I'm saying. So a lot of times people will like they think it's like a hobby, and or they'll say, oh, like, so do you work for a company? You know, like, there's just almost this automatic assumption that there's no way it's profitable and there's no way it's my thing. And I find that so interesting.
That is interesting. Do you have like, I'm assuming actually at some point you're going to have so much business that like you as one individual will not be able to do it all on your own. Like, that is how important your services are. Do you have a plan to like bring more people on board to do this with you? I know we're probably talking future here, but.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm always thinking in the future. So I think it would be really cool, and it would have to be the right person. And I think that if that path is meant to be, that person will just kind of become known. And I mean, I've had like PTs and athletic trainers and stuff message me and be like, this is really cool what you do. I'd love to do something like this. And I'm like, okay, well, if you ever thru hike and like, but for me, it would be like very important that they are also a thru hiker. Like, not that a PT can't be amazing at treating endurance athletes, but if you've never been on trail and had that very real fear of a trail ending injury, I do not think you can reach the same level of headspace of the people that are coming to you. So that would be really important to me, but I still have my old van. I like want to sell it, but by the time I got done with the new van and got home, it got to be winter, and vans are just like not great to sell in the winter. So it's just sitting in my parents' house. And there's like a small part of me that's like, maybe I should just hold on to it for a little longer, because if somebody did come out of the woodwork that I thought would be a really great fit to expand this, I might be able to offer them a red van. Like, talk about marketing.
No kidding. They'll be like knocking on the window being like, Morgan, and they'll be like, not Morgan, it's me.
Right? Like, just imagine this like army of red helping vans along all the long trails with PTs in them. Like, how ridiculous, but also maybe like, what if?
Yeah, it's kind of like the idea of, oh, this is going to be a bad analogy, but like staff at an airport, you know, you're like, oh, there's the people that I need to go talk to. Like, you just have that thing, you zero in, and I love it. Dream big.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, it's just so coincidental that I even have a red van, because I went to look for a white van when I bought my van, and it was like this beat up Sprinter that was still like $16,000. And then they just had this red Nissan that was in great shape and was only like 5 years old. And it was only like $9,000. And I was like, I guess I'm getting a red van for whatever that's worth. And then it ended up being so significant that it's red. So it's like, I don't know. I just like to pay attention to those little like omens, those little signs. So I'm like, maybe my van's not sold for a reason. Maybe I should just hold on to it a little longer. You never know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'd be really curious, especially actually, I'll put this podcast out there and maybe someone will listen and have an idea, or, you know, they're prepping for a hike and just start having conversations kind of about the idea. But one of the things I also want, a little bit of a detour, but I want to talk on or touch on rather, is you were saying before that a lot of other practitioners don't understand that you can work through and hike through discomfort, right? So yes. I'm sure that anytime people experience pain, and I think I shared with you that I had back surgery a couple years ago. So pain for me is very closely associated with a lot of fear and like, oh my gosh, am I causing more damage? Is this bad? Should I stop? What's happening here? How do you find that you're able to like help people even when they're in a state of discomfort and tell them like, it's okay to be uncomfortable and in pain while continuing forward?
So a big part of that comes from, I think, working with the general population, because we have a real problem in this country with perpetuating fear of movement. And we have such a lack of movement problem. Like most of our disease and our pain and our chronic pain, it is not because people are running too much. You know, it is because people are so stationary and they're, you know, they're seeing doctors that are telling them to stop all the time. Like, well, your knee hurts when you bike, well, stop biking. Your back hurts when you lift, stop lifting. And, you know, sometimes we don't get those people in the clinic and we can't undo that. And that kind of language is really deeply ingrained in our society. So it's like, there is just such a pain fear model that, you know, I really hope there's some big shift in the future. But what helps me a lot whenever I'm like, I have that perspective, seeing from the general population, just, you know, what kind of things can be planted in somebody's head. And then it's not quite as prevalent in the thru hiking community because they're still active. But what really helps is there is just such strong evidence behind things like tendonitis, for example. The only thing, like period, that heals a tendon is to load it. And so being able to say that confidently and talk about like pain science and, you know, how the fibers work and why you might be feeling pain and how pain doesn't always harm, and because of, you know, these reasons, I think that really helps shape that conversation. And hikers, because they are having pain that they've been pushing through, like your feet are gonna hurt. Like there's that obvious pain that is an injury. So it's almost an easier segue to be like, you know, I'm sure you're having some discomforts. Do you think everything that is discomfort on you right now is an injury? And when they can say no, and also have another pain, but no to those pains as being an injury, there's just kind of this like easier light bulb transition in that they can believe me when I say pain doesn't equal harm. Pain is just information.
Okay. I loved every minute of that. Because I think it's so true. I think a lot of times, and part of this is logical, right? You experience something, you're not sure what it is. There's fear there. And it feels like the, at least initially, the safe option is stop. Like, let's just pause. And I'm actually curious, like, using this analogy of pain as information, would you say you also use that kind of perspective with building your business too? Of like, yeah, there's going to be some bumps, and I'm sure there have been, but it doesn't mean that I shouldn't be doing this. It doesn't mean that I should, you know, go find a different job or a different way to support people. It's just navigating what I do with that information.
You know, I don't think I've ever related it to my business, but that's a really good analogy. I love that. Because it is, I mean, it is true. There are things that pop up. There's like my, honestly, my biggest headache is I have this like one troll, and he's just such a thorn in my side. And, but it's like, that's my pain. And so it's like, you know, he is what he is, but it like doesn't mean I need to change anything, stop what I'm doing, give it too much attention. Just like if it was, you know, a little nagging pain in a tendon.
Yeah. So, and that's it, right? Like I work with, so I'm in the process right now of going full-time in my business as a coach. And what's interesting, right? Even talking about this one individual, this one troll, I don't know who it is. I haven't seen them comment on any of your stuff, but being able to look at and be like, that perspective that they have of your work is also their perspective of the world. And I'm sure that gets in their way in so many domains to having a fulfilling life.
Oh, for sure. And it's like, there's so much good. And it's like, you know, in that same analogy, it's like, you know, you may have pain in your Achilles, right? But look at what your body's doing. Your body's still walking you 30 miles a day. So it's like, and then even in the business side of things, if there's like this one small thing, but look at everything that's being built. Like I am loving the most the community that I'm starting to get. And like, I'm blown away by people's support. Like I posted that video of toe yoga on my Instagram and just like jokingly put like, hikers, please interact with us so it stays on the right side of the internet, because, you know, feet videos. And I got so many comments and I just didn't expect that. I thought people would just like it and that was fine. I always just really didn't want it to get on the wrong thread. And then so many people just commented just like random little things just to like support that post. And I was like, that is just lovely.
That is so kind.
Right, those little things really just make my day.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's one of those things, right? Again, there's probably a million reasons and people in your life were probably more nervous for you to launch your business and dive into this kind of world of entrepreneurship when you didn't know for certain, because there is no certainty ever, that it would be successful. And like I said, this podcast is called Walking Towards Fear. And I think it's awesome that you dove in and went for it. So I'm curious what you would want to say to people who are thinking about an idea and are nervous to turn it into a reality.
I would say, so this is advice that I've been given, that I've been taking a lot this off season, that I think is helping me get to like the next level of this being a full year sustainable practice. And it's just do it when it's not perfect. So just start, like just rip the Band-Aid off and you will learn as you go. Because you know, when I went out on trail, I didn't know exactly what I was going to charge, what the structure was going to be, how long I was going to be out there. I just knew I had enough cushion to make it, a safe decision, you know, not to be frivolous. It was like calculated and I knew I could just take it as it came. And then now in this off season, I'm trying to just understand the world of content creating, because I do understand that that's a way to reach more people. It's a way to make more money. It is what business is these days, is being able to have some layer of content creating. And so I just had to hear enough from people that like, just start before it's perfect, to start making iPhone videos. So then I could make enough money on the stuff I put out that now I have a camera. And you know, now next step, I'll be able to use a better editing program. And it's like, if I didn't just start, I would never get better with those things. So it's like, I'm very happy that someone gave me that advice.
And were you nervous to just start? Like, was it an easy thing for you just to start?
No, it took me forever, because I've been wanting to put out content for like a year. And I just had to like get over my own self and just put myself in front of a camera. And I just, you know, I just don't scrutinize it. I don't watch it back very many times and make sure it's what I was intending, and that's it. I don't overanalyze the lighting. If the sound's not perfect, it is what it is. You know, I'll eventually get to that level of trying to elevate things, but I think there's a little bit of that overcoming that imposter syndrome, you know, where it's like, oh, who's gonna want to follow this video? I don't look like a CrossFit athlete or anything, or like, you know, there's a lot of like self-doubt on why you're not the best person for this role. And you just at a certain point just have to like say screw it and just say like, just be that person. And or at least fake it till you make it.
Totally. And honestly, I think we're starting to like turn a corner where people don't want to see the CrossFit athletes as much. They want to see the people who are like them, right? What I'll call normal people doing really cool things. It makes it feel more tangible, more accessible for all of us who just feel like we're normal people.
Right, exactly. And it's like, you know, I'm doing the pre-hike training series, which is like, you know, 20 workouts that are, and, you know, I do them and that's how they're taught. It's like a video recording. And then I just sprinkle in a lot of physical therapy and injury advice, like through the workout. And, you know, there'll be parts of it where it's like, I want to teach a hip mobility drill, but I have terrible hip mobility. Can I work on it? Like, should I work on it? Absolutely. Have I been working on it? Nope. But I need to choose this exercise so that way I can like give that information. And so I just do it badly and say, this is it. This is a movement. Yours may look better than mine, but just know if yours looks the same as mine, that's okay. Like you just also probably have tight hips and we should work on this together. So it's like just kind of owning that imperfect mentality. And you know, we're of the generation where like we've been like body shamed and diet shamed until we're like blue in the face. And so it's like there's also a little bit of that like rebelling against all of that and just being a normal person that feels kind of liberating.
Yeah, super liberating. And I heard a quote and you kind of started alluding towards it, and it flips one of the things on its head we've heard all the time. And it's, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. And the first time I heard that, I was kind of like, do I agree with this? And the more I thought about it, I was like, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'd rather go for, you know, a lazy, not pushing myself, unmotivated run than not go for a run at all. I'd rather put out a post on my, you know, Instagram account for people to understand who I am than to not post at all. Like, it's worth doing these things, even if they're not perfect. I'm not saying we should be shooting for like bad things, but if it's worth doing, it is worth doing in whatever capacity you can get yourself to do it in.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a like to the point way of saying it, because that is, it's just so true. And you know, it's like cheesy. Do you watch TikToks? Like, have you seen Elise Myers? Is she on your stuff?
No, I haven't, but I'll check her out.
She's great. She's like boomed with a following, and she's just like, she's just so real and normal. And her whole thing is just like, I forget her like big quote, but it's like, you know, she's got a lot of anxiety and like is still doing these like crazy things, like just achieved celebrity status basically overnight as a regular person with anxiety. And I just love her like take on things, because it's just like, what a small world we would live in if we all thought we had to be perfect before we shared our talents and passions with each other.
Oh my God, it's so true. Like, louder for the people who are listening. And I think that's why I so much enjoyed meeting you and talking to you on the trail and off the trail too, because a lot of me feels like a very normal person. Like, I have a podcast called Walking Towards Fear, and I try to live my life kind of that way, where I take these small steps towards fear. Like, running towards fear is irresponsible, but walking towards it, it creates some growth edges for us. And the more people I think that we can kind of enroll into this world of doing things that are worthwhile to us, like, that's where everybody kind of changes for the better. And that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't hear you.
By all kinds of people. And so it's like cool to self or not do the things, because who knows what happens that you don't even know is a result of what you've done, which is a pretty cool way to look at life.
Yeah. Can you share that one more time? You cut out there for a minute, but it sounded really important.
Oh yeah, I was just saying that I was listening to a podcast from in that Ice Physio group, and their CEO said something to the effect of, we don't have a motivation problem, we have a lack of inspiration problem. And I thought that was really cool to think that, you know, if we just do our thing and you know, follow your own passions, the little fires that you might be lighting around you that you don't even know, and just that huge ripple effect it's just a really cool way to think about life, that if everybody's doing that, how much we can just like move forward as a, like as a society, as a humanity.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I mean, I'll tell you, like, very straight up, Morgan, it's been fun to watch you over this last year, even just from afar, like build this business of merging your passions, because it's been one of those things that's helped me to be like, yeah, I can also do that. Like, and we need more people to do that. So your ripple is, you know, rippled my way. And I hope my ripple ripples to somebody else and we'll keep it going. Oh, but it's been so cool watching you build this business. And I know, again, you helped hundreds of hikers this year, and there's thousands of more people in the future that will absolutely be benefiting from your like sound PT advice and just like your awesome vibe.
Oh, thank you. And I'm looking forward to all of the like adventure coaching you're going to do, because I think you really like there's a big thing ahead of you. And so I'm excited for you on day two of the things that are going to be there for you at day 300.
Oh, I can't wait. And hopefully with some of the adventuring that I'll do, I'll find my way out, and I'm sure we'll connect again in the future and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm actually looking forward to so much that a lot of the class of 2022 lives like near trail or plans to like come out and do trail magic, and how exciting it is that I might be able to like meet up with past year's hikers while I'm out seeing current hikers. And it's like, I can help tie them into the current group and then just do that each year. That's so exciting to me.
Yes, you're like a big connector of the PCT,
right? And honey will just lose it. She's gonna be so happy.
That dog is going to be more loved than any other dog on the West Coast.
I think she's had to be home alone more in the last 10 weeks than she has like actually in her whole life, because she used to go to work with me even before trail. And when we finally like leave Florida and head back to trail, she's just going to be nuts for like 2 weeks, because she'll be so pumped that we're doing this again.
That is so amazing. Oh, please give Honey Pup some pats for me. I can't wait to see you both again soon. But thank you for being part of the pod. Thank you for sharing a bit of your story and your inspiration. And honestly, thank you for taking the steps to like follow your own passion. I think it's such an important part that not many people actually do, but they think about a lot. So it's been cool to watch you actually create it.
Cool. Well, I appreciate your support a lot, and I'm so glad our paths crossed. And this was one of my favorite podcasts, so it's been lovely chatting with you.
Awesome. Well, enjoy the rest of your evening, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Sounds good.